Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Defense! Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College football today.
Back on college football today, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci talking about the big Big 12 battle between Will Grier and West Virginia. And Tom Herman and the Texas Longhorns, we talked about Mike Gundy. I like Texas here, Rich. I think they get about a 10-point victory over Will Grier and the crew later today.
Yeah, I'm with you. One of my better bets. I just don't see Texas losing back-to-back games with that.
Twitter.
Hey, Mike Gundy is talking to us.
It's a platform for people that are sitting home drawing an unemployment check, sitting in front of a keyboard.
That was Mike Gundy's brief Twitter rant. For a second there, I was worried that you guys didn't hear it, and I did. I thought maybe I was having a stroke on the air. But that was Mike Gundy.
Sorry, I often hear voices that no one else hears. Don't worry.
Do you share it with others? Or just
yeah,
your,
I do. That's
just
how
your
I've
therapist.
Stayed on the air for 17 years.
Touche.
It's authenticity.
Gabe, Texas, West Virginia, what do you got?
I want to take West Virginia here. I want to take West Virginia here. It didn't. It's not one of my best bets. I can't lay it down on every game, at least big money. I'm putting a couple $100 on Wisconsin right out of the gate in the morning here. I'm going to go with the over here, guys. I think there's going to be some points in this game. I think it's going to be another old school Big 12 up and down the field track meet.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it could be low scoring. I don't have a feel on the total. I like Texas, though. I feel very confident in Texas. In that matchup, it's a 3:30 kick on Fox, so check that out. We'll turn our attention to another Big Ten battle, Purdue and Iowa. This game scares me a little bit. Purdue did get this victory last year, 24-19. I was all over Purdue last year. They were catching around 9.5 points in that battle. Now they opened up it as a 1.5 point favorite, jumped up to 3. This is a tough game for Iowa because it's back-to-back road games, and when you look at Iowa as a whole, they struggle when teams can stretch them vertically. That's what Purdue and Jeff Brohm and David Blau do. Still would take the points with Iowa, but not one of my better selections today.
No, me either. It's a good summary, Joe. I'm kind of on the same page. It's a tough game. It's a toss-up game, a huge game in the Big Ten West. How much did Purdue get hurt by that loss last week? How much is their psyche damaged by that loss last week? That's something to monitor. I just think, even though it's on the road, it's in West Lafayette, Purdue secondary, big concern. 5 of their last opponents, they've given up more than 300 yards. So this could be a game for Nate Stanley to get healthy after the tough loss last week against Penn State. I just look at it this way, simplistically. Better team, in my opinion, is Iowa. More complete team is Iowa. Although it's on the road, you got the better team getting points. I would say take Iowa, but be very careful. It's a tough pick.
You like the over here because Purdue's given up 299 through the air. I mean, you would think that Nate Stanley could have a big day today.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I've had a hard time with Purdue this year. You know, I've been on the wrong side of a couple of Purdue games, but I generally think Purdue are overrated. And I think they're a little bit overrated here, as you stated. And to me, I'm not a big revenge spot guy in pro sports. These guys don't care. They're making $22 million a year, etc. Collegiately, you know, Kirk Ferentz remembers. This is a revenge spot right now for Iowa. Purdue went in there and beat them. I think Iowa get it done today. Not a best bet for me, but I would take Iowa. A
lot of quirky stat, Joe. Six of the last 7 meetings between Purdue and Iowa, road team has won. Iowa's on the road. That factored in slightly for me as well, including last year.
You got a 6-2 team plus points.
Yeah. Yes, that's the way I looked at it.
The only concern I have for Iowa, I mean, they're giving up 84 rushing yards per game, only 180 passing yards per game. But if they fall behind to David Blau and that offense with Moore and those playmakers like DJ Knox, can they go toe-to-toe, score-for-score in West Lafayette? Because you know Jeff Brohm's going to try and push tempo on them, and that's the one concern I have. Again, I would still take Iowa. I would suggest taking another game There's a better games out there than this 3-point spread, so yeah. I don't have a best selection in this pick.
Agreed.
But, you know, we'll turn our attention to the huge battle in Lexington, Kentucky, Georgia.
We're talking basketball today?
Georgia, Kentucky.
Are we Eddie talking John Snell, Calipari?
Terry Wilson. I love this battle. I mean, this the landscape with the bluegrass of Lexington, Kentucky, even though they have AstroTurf now.
What are you, a groundskeeper all of a sudden? Yes. You're worried about what type of turf it is?
Yes, I love it.
I always thought I was the expert on grass in this room.
The bluegrass of Kentucky. Well, here's a statistic. I mean, Georgia's won 8 straight over the Wildcats by 19.6 points per game and picked up this victory
last
year.
That's all right. Florida Gators had won 31 consecutive times.
13. I think this is a tough game early on. I think it's a 7-point game going into the fourth quarter, but in the end, the Bulldogs do win a 14-point game, but not going to be easy because Benny Snell and the crew will come to play today.
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky's for real this year, and they proved it last week. When they needed something out of the passing game from Terry Wilson, they got it late against Missouri. They had that long drive to compliment Benny Snell. That defense is for real. It is Josh Allen. It is Jordan Jones, and Coach Stoops has done a remarkable job. I mean, this is a legitimate SEC East team, which is something that not a lot of people expected this year. But I agree with your assessment, Joe. I just think too many athletes. Georgia got off the mat last week after the difficult loss to LSU, beat up Florida in the cocktail party. Now that they have their momentum, they have their mojo, they can wrap up the SEC East for a second straight year. I think it is close in the first half. But I think Fromm playing better, DeAndre Swift looked good running the ball, Elijah Holyfield, all of those wide receivers. I'm not in love with Georgia's defense this year. I don't think it's anywhere near last year's defense. But Kentucky's not a team that could take advantage. You're going to focus on stopping Benny Snell. You're going to force Terry Wilson to throw the ball. I completely agree with your assessment. I think it's close early. Georgia pulls away. Georgia by 13 or 14. Kudos to Kentucky. I just don't think they win the SEC
they're
East.
They're giving up 108 rushing yards per game. So you would think Hardman, you would think Swift in the short to intermediate passing game. I don't have an opinion on the over, but I still think the better playmakers are with Georgia and Fromm.
That's the problem. I sort of look at this. It's sort of like a cruise ship that's you're trying to stop the leaks. Eventually, Georgia's going to get you. There's just too much speed. There's too many different dynamic playmakers. Eventually, they're going to make plays. As you guys stated, you can exploit Georgia if you're able to throw the football. Now, Wilson had a nice game last week, 22 of 31, 267 yards. But that was against Missouri. This is a different animal. I can't get in front of this Kentucky team right now. Sometimes, guys, there's something larger. It's the intangibles. There's something larger than just the numbers and the matchup. Now, I'm a little bit concerned, my concern, but the Kentucky kids, you figured they would. Remember I talked about this when you guys said, it might be a letdown after they beat Florida. No, there was no letdown. Stoops done a great job. This is as big as it gets for them. This is the biggest game in, recent Kentucky football history.
This might be ever.
Ever. National television, football. Division title, SEC, East, etc.
Georgia's in
town.
Can
they handle the moment against a team that's been in the playoffs, that's been in big moments before? Fromm's 19-3 as a starter right now. But you know, it's hard not to. I got to take the points here. I'm going to take the points. How do I not take points when I'm getting 8.5 points with a team on their home field and the only team in college football that hasn't given up more than 20 points in a game yet? They've never given up more than 20 points in a game.
Yeah, it's a great
lead
point.
The country in scoring defense.
No, last time I checked, they play in the SEC, right?
There's good logic behind it. I just think that it's going to be. I happen to think it's going to be one of those games that
Snell do this on his own?
Kentucky's going toe to toe. They're in it. They're down by one score. Georgia gets a late score. They just wear them out late. I could see
but it's one of these games where it's smash mouth and you laid 8.5, 9 points. And you're thinking, oh man, this is pretty tight.
24-14 Georgia.
Yeah,
something like that.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, 2 years ago, Kentucky had Georgia on the ropes in Lexington and they kicked the field goal. Hot Rod won that ball game 27-24. So it was a very tough ball game. I mean, Patrick Toles was there at quarterback.
Right, they've been knocking on the door, right? Just like they were knocking on the door of Florida. One thing about Kentucky as well, we can talk, okay, they're offensively challenged. They're still scoring 29 points per game at home.
It's not a lot in college, though.
They find a way. Well, Georgia are scoring 33 points a game on the road.
I mean, here's the thing.
This is their throwback college team.
If you're Kentucky and you know that Georgia's going to key on Benny Snell in this matchup, force Terry Wilson to beat you, you got to have some.
I got confidence he can make a play.
I think Kentucky needs to roll the dice and
get him play on the calling, play action, reverses. maybe a flea flicker here or there, get very aggressive.
Yeah, I think that's what they have to do. Now, can they do that against the speed of Georgia? Because I agree with Rich. There are not the playmakers like Roquan Smith, Bellamy, Lorenzo Carter, Trent Thompson in the middle. This is a different, raw, inexperienced defense for Georgia that's getting better, but they still can't generate a pass rush.
They're not very good, their defense.
That's another concern.
No, I see one star on that defense. It's DeAndre Baker, the cornerback. They just have not been able to generate pressure. And that's got to be driving Kirby crazy, because Kirby is all about edge pressure from his days back at Alabama. He wants those outside linebackers that can make things happen in the backfield. I don't know if they're going to need it so much today, Joe, because this is not a passing offense. You're going to really stick to controlling Terry Wilson.
Field position type of game.
Yeah, Benny Snell. And I don't think Georgia's offense goes off, but 24-14, 27-14. Yeah. You know, a quick question before we move on to another game. Coach Stoops, somebody go after him? I mean, we never thought about it because he's been on the ropes during his time in Lexington.
He's hot and cold.
We spent more time talking about him as a hot seat coach.
He needs to do it for a couple more years.
Okay.
I think the Stoops, he doesn't have the best reputation. I think, and maybe the Stoops brother should have a better reputation, but as a whole, I think you'd have to prove it. Yeah, I don't think the other teams. Plus, it's not a bad job. You're in the SEC. They're starting to spend money on this football program.
You're in the weaker half of the SEC. You actually have a shot to play for a division title more than you would out west. So it's not a bad, beautiful part of the country.
And they pump money into the program. Yeah. I mean, basketball-wise, I mean, you're talking about,
You border Ohio. You can get decent recruits from Ohio. Yeah.
The one thing that he's changed is run support. Only giving up 108 rushing yards per game 2 years ago. They were in the area of 230. So that'll be the matchup to see play out at 3:30. It's right before Alabama and LSU on CBS. We'll turn our attention to another big ball game in the SEC. It's Texas A&M and Auburn. I talked about it in my best bets. Auburn won this matchup in College Station last year, 42-27. Jared Stidham had a big day. Again, it comes down to the athleticism of Auburn, not just on the front seven, in the secondary. And I think Stidham does have a big day, because the way you have to beat Texas A&M is attack their secondary that's given up 244 passing yards per game. I think a lot of people buying into Texas A&M because they lost to Alabama and Clemson as this elite team in the conference. I don't think they're there yet. Year number two, three, maybe. Auburn has the better talent. They get it done later today.
Yeah, the bloom came off the rose a little bit for Texas A&M last week. I liked them. You liked Mississippi State. You were right. I was wrong. I think they needed to win that kind of a game to show me that they're a team that's better than just their best losses.
Right.
You know, they needed to beat Mississippi State. They didn't do it. So I'm on Auburn as well. A little cautious here, though, because Auburn has been so up and down, so schizophrenic this year. Haven't seen enough out of Jared Stidham. Now they start running the ball against Ole Miss, and now their back, Whitlow, is questionable for this game. So to me, it's a game that I'm a little bit leery about this game. What will Texas A&M show? I think Auburn dominates at the line of scrimmage. Better defensive line than the O-line of Texas A&M. But me, I'm more cautious than you are in taking Auburn.
If you can't win this ball game coming out of a bye week against a team that got beat up by Mississippi State, you don't deserve to win this ball game.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm back in Auburn. Now, somehow, some way, they lose this ball game, he could be on the outside looking in for week number 11 in terms of a job, because they will not tolerate that at Auburn, especially if Alabama comes through against LSU. A lot of pressure on this Auburn team.
I can't trust them laying points. That's my problem.
Touchdown, though.
I know. They've just been too inconsistent, Joe.
Yeah, I was against them. I agree with you. I mean, but in this spot,
I've been burnt two, three times this year. I'm not doing it again. It's like,
fool me once, fool me twice,
all that shame on, you know?
Auburn just is too inconsistent for me to consider it a best bet.
Exactly.
And I like Auburn, but they're too up and down.
Couple of games. All right, we got people in the chat here. James Ross, regular viewer. What's up, James Ross? Memphis and East Carolina. You know, I want to take Memphis in the game, but the number's just a little bit too high.
Well, can I say one thing about ECU? Say one thing about ECU. Underrated defense this year. The defense is actually, Nate Harvey is doing an outstanding job. ECU defensively, better than the numbers indicate, and Reed Herring under center. I would say it's a lot of points. Yeah. I would take ECU in the points.
It opened at 14. It got bet down to 11.5. But here's the thing, too. I'm not sold on Memphis on a road spot. I mean,
their defense has been atrocious. Yeah, and they have not been good on the road.
Exactly. Yeah. So
they can't stop anybody.
They play down to the level of competition.
Now down to 10.5. So the money's coming in on the Pirates.
You're going to force me to pick that game. I'm taking the points with ECU.
Agreed.
I don't like the game as one of my best bets, but I like
I'm
ECU
with, you.
With the points.
He's got another one in the same conference, actually.
Love James Ross.
The Middies. the Middies and the Bearcats.
Ooh, that's a tough
one. I'm all over Navy.
Navy's now getting 13.
Too many points.
They've been a train wreck, Navy. 1-7 against the point spread this year. Yeah, I don't know, that little voice inside me thinking, it wouldn't surprise me if they could hang around in this game. You're asking a lot from Cincinnati here to be winning by 2 touchdowns.
I was against Cincinnati. I should have won that game against in SMU. They had the 20-17 lead. It's
Temple game.
No, last week, Cincinnati on the road against SMU. I took them on the show plus 8.5. I got home, it was halftime. I bought them plus 235 and 310 on the money line. It's 20-17 and with 30 seconds left, and Ritter and the crew tied it up, and then they get the pick six.
Oh, you got backdoored.
Yeah, but I covered. I just lost the money line. But again, Cincinnati, to me, they wear you down. Are they going to jump up and just force the tempo against Navy? That's how you have to beat the midshipmen. So I would take the points here. Not one of my best bets, but give me the midshipmen. Not sold on their defense.
They've actually
over
been
might
competitive.
Be
you know what? I'm looking here. I almost want to jump in on this, actually. If you look at,
I like the over there.
Look, Navy's actually been somewhat, you know, throw the Notre Dame game. That game against Houston was a little bit closer. It was a close game most of the game. Houston pulls away late. The Temple game, 7-point game. SMU, 1-point game. Like, they have been a lot of close games. But the 1-7 against the number here, I would take Navy or pass.
A lot of points, Gabe, and
it's Navy or pass.
Does Cincy warrant laying almost 2 touchdowns?
No, it's not like they're not a power juggernaut.
No, don't have a great offense either, and they showed that against SMU. SMU, they struggled against that SMU defense.
He's still a freshman. I mean, so at the end of the day, he's inconsistent. I mean, and SMU's defense played very well. That's the concern, though. Navy's defense hasn't been up to snuff, allowing around 43% on third down conversions, over 240 passing yards per game. So if Cincinnati jumps up early, they have the playmakers and the speed to attack Navy.
I wonder if Ken Niumatalolo is starting to wonder, like, man, maybe a couple of years ago I should have taken BYU.
We got some real degenerates to watch us. We're getting asked about Louisiana Monroe games now.
Georgia Southern, I like. I'm not sold on UL Monroe's.
God bless our viewers talking about
belt.
The belt.
When we come back, we'll be talking Ohio State and Nebraska. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci live from Studio 34 right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
College football today, talking about all the top 25 battles. We left off with Texas A&M and Auburn. Going to turn our attention to a Big Ten battle between Nebraska and Ohio State. Ohio State 2 weeks ago lost to Purdue. They now have a week to think about it at home in the Horseshoe. Not sold on Nebraska as a whole, but I'll take the 19, Rich, in this ballgame. Adrian Martinez, to me, they look good over the last couple of weeks offensively. They dominated Bethune-Cookman. And more importantly, I look at Ohio State. They struggle with Purdue's offense, and Nebraska runs a similar type of attack. That's why I think Nebraska could put up some points. Not a best bet, though. I know you like the Buckeyes in this matchup.
Yeah, I do. I mentioned it earlier. My best bet for 12 o'clock would be Ohio State. I think this is a team that it's now or never. You lost the Purdue game. You got hammered 49-20. You've been under severe criticism defensively. Urban Meyer hearing some whispers about his future, not hot seat, but in terms of his health or NFL maybe, but maybe he won't be in Ohio State next year. I think it's statement time for Ohio State. The one serious weakness for Nebraska, not offensively, it's the defense. Big game for Dwayne Haskins. I think he goes over 400 yards again.
Yeah. Over
find
could
it
be
to
the
be
play.
A big coincidence we find out about Urban Meyer's health situation now.
Yeah. Around the Purdue loss?
after the Purdue loss. Well, after it wasn't earlier in the year.
Remember, he almost collapsed in September on the sideline, if you remember.
Yeah, in Indiana. Yeah. Against Indiana. They said it was against Indiana. I don't know. Yeah. They said they've been monitoring it for 4 years now. I mean,
I remember when he left Florida, it was due to health reasons and to spend time with his family. And I guess he didn't like spending too much time at home because he took a job at OSU about 3 months later.
Yeah.
Well, or a little longer, 6-7 months later. But all kidding aside, you know, you could tell, I don't know, Urban Meyer seems to be somehow offended that people somehow challenged his integrity, you know, rightfully so for challenging his integrity. So I think we're nearly at the end of the line. I don't imagine Urban Meyer is going to be coaching that much longer at Ohio State.
Well, when you think about this matchup from a totals perspective, I mean, they've been blown out, Nebraska, by Ohio State in recent years. I mean, they put up 259 spots on them and a 62 spot on Nebraska. So, I mean, they're going to need a big change. I guess
the number feels a little low, actually. It's 17.
I agree.
It was 21, but the betting market jumped in and said, screw this, we're taking Nebraska.
21 is light for them, if you think about it.
I agree.
I mean, they gave 29 to Minnesota. They gave 29 to Minnesota. Would they give?
That's a good point.
And who else did they give 2 weeks ago a big number to? Maryland? Ohio State laid a huge number after Minnesota. I think it was Indiana. That's it. They laid 26.5 to Indiana, followed that up with a 29.5 point spread against Minnesota. Didn't cover both. Then went on the road to Purdue, lost that matchup. They were 12-point favorites. Took a week off, and now they open as 21-point favorites. They bet it down to 17.
Yeah.
17.
It
does seem
what it was, though. I mean, it's interesting. You look, it's around 17, but you mentioned they were laying 29.5, 30 points to the Gophers. They won by 16.
Yeah, but Minnesota doesn't have that type of offense like Nebraska does. Now, and Scott Frost, you would think, is going to coach that talent up. He's been looking at a game like this to really erase the first five games of the season. That's the one thing I think.
This would do it.
You talked about it, the beatdowns. You're right. Like, I mean, 56-14, 62-3, 63-38.
I mean,
they put up massive points the last three times they played them.
Well, what has Ohio State not been able to do offensively this year is run the football. So I think this is one of those games where the last 2 weeks they've worked on, you know, we have J.K. Dobbins. We have this Mike Weber kid. You know, so, I mean, you know, we should be able to run the ball. We're Ohio State with the offensive lineman we have. Let's run the football. So I think there will be a commitment to the run along with Haskins. I could see this being a game where Ohio State generates 600 north yards.
I could see them flexing their muscle here, kicking the crap out of it. I would run far away from Nebraska here.
Yeah, I'm not touching this game in any capacity, but give me the points with Nebraska in this
matchup.
All
these games where I wasn't going to bet, and now we talk about it, I'm thinking, yeah, you know what?
This is almost like our little self-help group. The thing is,
I hate betting on teams that I hate. Hate's a strong word. I don't like Ohio State. I don't like Michigan State. I don't like betting on them and not like covering. So, like, I think Ohio State covers, but I'm going to feel sick that I lost money on these guys from Columbus. It really bothers me.
That would be like Joe losing money on Skip Holtz and Louisiana Tech.
I took Skip Holtz this week because I want them to lose. When I did the show.
Well, you're
out of your mind.
You're trying to, what? Hold on. I like La Tech today.
We're
getting 24 points. 23
points.
Pick.
So, you know, I love that pick.
Why are Mississippi State favored by this much? What are we missing on this?
Maybe it makes no sense.
They went in LSU and lost by 18 or whatever.
La Tech traditionally plays these type of games very close.
We had them against LSU earlier in the year. They covered.
Yeah. They're 6-2.
I didn't have them in that game, but
I did. I think Gabe did also.
Yeah,
I was all over La Tech in that game.
I mean, they have an offense. That
remember,
can
we got
football.
Worried about the line movement because we were getting 21.5.
It went down.
So we'll see. We'll see how that game plays out. But speaking of running the football, I'm going to throw a statistic out. Last three games, 1,161 rushing yards allowed. That's 387 rushing yards per game, 16 rushing touchdowns, which comes down to 5.3 per game over the last three games. That's what Louisville's defense has allowed in three straight losses. And oh, by the way, here comes Clemson, Trevor Lawrence, ETN, that's averaging 260 rushing yards per game. Again, I think Clemson dominates this matchup. They opened as 37-point favorites after they dominated Florida State 59-10. They're now laying 39.5 to Louisville. Clemson wins, but I close my eyes. I'll take Louisville, but again, not one of my better selections in this ballgame.
Yeah,
I mean,
hard to lay that many points, but certainly Louisville has earned
sieve.
It. And I look at coaches, any coach against Bobby Petrino. Bobby Petrino's not well liked.
No.
He's like the James Franklin of the ACC. Not a very well-liked coach.
Worse than that.
Much worse. Yeah. Yeah, no, much worse. So I think if there's a chance to sort of pour some salt into the wounds, I he's obviously a wounded animal. I don't think Dabo Swinney and Clemson will take any liberty at really pounding Louisville. Louisville's down and out. They've got nothing. And I think they'll have a new coach next year. Clemson can name their number at this point.
Hey, Bobby, let me rip that off for you. That's what they're going to do today. I mean, I could see it. I think the recipe, again, do you really utilize Trevor Lawrence in this matchup the way you did against Florida State? Or do you just keep it conservative, run the football with Etienne and Feaster and get out of there with a 30-point win as opposed to a 40-point win in terms of what you need to cover this number? So, again, I don't have a feeling on the total. But Louisville, again, this 5 straight losses, this is their bowl game. If you want to think about it, I mean, nothing to play for at this point. You gave up 66 to Georgia Tech and over 500 yards of rushing offense. You're going to have to pull out all the stops, Gabe, to get this victory later today.
Yeah, I'll be looking for points in this football game. I blame Papa John for this.
Bad Papa John karma.
Yeah, it was the beginning of the downfall. Yeah. No, kidding aside, you look at Louisville from the Patino situation into Papa John, into the stadium, into Petrino, into the beatdowns. I mean, it wasn't that long ago they had the Heisman Trophy winner. They were playing in big games.
Yeah. I mean, what's the total in this game? 63, probably?
Let's get the updated number. The screens are flashing, man. They're going crazy. It's a lot of movement.
It would have to be. I mean, with Trevor Lawrence putting up 59 on Florida State, I didn't catch a total, but I would think that the total has to be in the 60s in that ballgame.
Getting you the updated number right now.
I don't think it'll be that high.
I think it's 50?
I think there's concerns as to whether or not Louisville can even get into double digits.
I would say, I'm going to say, I didn't look at it, 63 for the total. What do you have, a rotary over there? A rotary phone?
Wait, I can hear his dial-up modem. Dial-up? Get that dial-up modem working.
Well, game
61.
61. All right, it's in there. You know, we'll see.
The thing to keep in mind for this game is Clemson is...
Once again, blame Papa John. Or actually, the Renaissance Wi-Fi.
Clemson is in championship mode.
They are.
I mean, whatever weaknesses they showed earlier in this year, had to escape against Syracuse after Lawrence went out in this game. This is a different team right now.
They're not going to be challenged.
Clemson is playing. No, they South won't be Carolina. Challenged the rest of the way.
That could be the only challenge. I think that's
I don't even
only-
think that will be.
Yeah, but I mean, I think on the
road
schedule,
or home.
Home, actually, because they dominated that matchup last year in Columbia.
Yeah.
They dominated. Kelly Bryant actually had a good game.
The next time Clemson will be challenged, it'll be a college football playoff game.
Yeah, we'll see. They should make the playoff easy sledding the rest of the way. We'll turn our attention to that big battle in Waco. Oklahoma State opened as an 8-point favorite. It's now down to around 6 points against Charlie Brewer and Matt Rhule. I just think offensively, I know Baylor got blown out against West Virginia. I understand that. They came out flat, and West Virginia was a better team and really came focused. But again, this is a team that's buying into Matt Rhule. They're sitting at 4-4 overall, and more importantly, has an opportunity to become bowl eligible over the next 4 weeks with 2 wins. I equate this team to the way Iowa State was last year under Matt Campbell. They're slowly getting there, but I think they match up well against Oklahoma State. Now, Baylor's allowing 187 rushing yards per game. I know Cornelius and Hill will have big days, but I think this offense of Baylor puts up points on a defense that's allowing close to 280 passing yards per game.
Yeah, I think this line is too high. I think a little too much credit. Oklahoma State saw their spot, primetime, Texas, at home, Stillwater. But let's not forget, this is the Oklahoma State team that got trashed by Texas Tech. They got trashed by Iowa State. This is an incomplete Oklahoma State team. I think this is too much credit. And this was a line that I thought would have been 4, opened up around 8. Now it's come down, maybe to a more suitable number around 6 points. But Oklahoma State's still incomplete, still soft on defense. Joe, you brought up a great point, which I'd like to echo, which is Baylor, you know, I make fun of the bowls a lot of times, 40 bowl games, but bowl games sometimes matter to programs more than it would to others. If Baylor can win 2 more games, get to that 6 that's needed for bowl eligibility, that is huge in year 2 for Baylor, because last year they were, what, 1-11?
1-11.
1-11 last year. If they can get to a bowl game, get those extra 15 practices, that's a big deal for Baylor. So for Baylor, these games really matter. Not saying it doesn't for Oklahoma State, but now that Okie State goes on the road after the emotional win over Texas, I think they're ripe for the picking in this game.
And when you think
I think this is a letdown for Oklahoma State as well.
Take the over. I mean,
you're exactly right.
When you talk about the over of Oklahoma and Texas Tech blindly taking it. Blindly take this over for me.
Baylor starting to score again. 7-2 to the over in their last 9 football games. Oklahoma State's on a 10-4 over run. I think there will be points in this game.
Yeah, I could see it. It would shock me if we see a 20-14 ball game. I know there's wind in the area, but defensively, especially in run support, both defenses giving up a lot of yards. Look for Lovett. Look for Ebner. Look for Justice Hill and Cornelius to all
68.5 right now.
Yeah, I think that's easy. I think that's easy in that ball game. I know weather's an issue with possible wind, but again, they should be able to run at will on each other. So
money's coming in on West Virginia right now, guys. Too, like I said, there's a lot of screens lighting up.
Teams, there's a lot of teams. I talked about this earlier that are favorites of Vegas. Texas Tech is one. No matter where, who, how, NFL, college, as long as they're catching points, they get bet down. It happened last week against Iowa State. Happens every time they're dogs.
You think money goes on the sexier offensive team?
I think people you think just Texas have a Tech, perception problem.
Wide open, West Virginia, yeah, Will Grier, wide open.
I think that's perception.
I think the casual fan buys into the offense.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Defense isn't as sexy.
Right.
You know. Everyone knows who the running back is. Everyone knows who the quarterback is. Who knows who the linebacker is on a college football team, right?
And they know Kingsbury. They know he'll chuck it 65 times.
They know Will
NFL
Greer.
NFL fans, too. You know, it's fantasy football. Fantasy football is so big, and it's sort of skewed everybody's opinion. They only really think of things offensively. Look, when we were capping, we were talking about the Penn State game. We had to bring up, and oh, yeah, by the way, Penn State can't stop anybody from throwing the ball on them.
Right,
and these are important, you know, offense, defense, special teams.
There's only 3 ways to win a football game. You run it, you pass it, you kick it, you stop the run, you stop the pass, and you get specials, you win the ball game. I mean 3 on each. Yeah, 3 and 3, that's what I meant.
I was actually counting as you were reeling it off.
Specials. But speaking of the defense, Florida now comes back.
Oh, yeah, this is one of my, now we're talking.
Well, now, yeah, we're all bucking
heads
here, baby.
One of my best bets, yeah.
This is it.
You would best, 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 best. Do you like Missouri here?
I love Missouri. But it's homecoming at Florida. This is the best bet of mine.
I love the disgust.
Look, he got all upset. I can't help it. It's homecoming in Florida.
Disgusted Gabe ought to be a meme. Disgusted Gabe.
But let's just be honest. Let's talk about this game. Last year, Florida with Randy Shannon and Malik Zaire as the quarterback lost this matchup in Columbia 45-16. Much better team under Dan Mullen has progressed. Played very well for 3 quarters against Georgia. Didn't get the victory. Now comes back home. And granted, Missouri 0-3 in the SEC. Drew Locke never steps up against elite competition. But I think he steps up today. I think they move the football. I think they get the outright win over the Gators here.
Yeah, I love Florida in this game. If I'm wrong, don't tweet me anything because I have you muted on Twitter anyway. So I won't even see it. Just a word to the wise. I won't even see your tweets. But I love Florida in this game. I mean, it all comes down to who overcomes their hangover the fastest, right? Missouri last week against Kentucky, crushing walk-off loss. Florida, rivalry loss to Georgia. So, you know, this is going to come down to psychology. I just think Florida at home with that defense, you touched on Drew Locke. He just doesn't show up in big games against big defenses. Against SEC opponents this year, 1 touchdown pass, 5 interceptions. I expect to see more of that today. Florida just gashing them on the ground, controlling Drew Locke. I think the Gators get back on track. I'm just not a big Missouri fan this year.
The physicality of an SEC, Missouri are in the SEC, but...
Sort of.
Yeah.
They're still kind of a Big 12 team.
SEC light. SEC light. I think Florida, you look at Florida, I was impressed by their offense last week making plays. I think Florida's going to be able to have success moving the football. They'll be able to throw the ball. They'll be able to run the ball. And conversely, I think the Gator defense is going to be too much for Drew Locke on the road here. I'm not turned off by the homecoming. I get it. Right. I know homecoming can be pressure for some kids. I'm a big Mullen fan. This Gator team, to me, is probably going to get through with just 2 losses now from all the way through. They're going to be playing in a big-time bowl game on New Year's Day. And Mullen's probably going to have these guys in the playoffs in a couple of years.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm not down on Florida. I mean, I was very impressed. I watched that whole Georgia game. I mean, that red zone defense, that goal line stand.
You're a yards guy, so what's Missouri in the trenches?
Well, here's the thing.
Defensively, how are they going to stop these guys?
Well, here's the thing. That's the matchup. I mean, Missouri's only allowing 126 rushing yards per game. The way you attack Missouri is their secondary. They're giving up 288 per game. That's not really the strength of Felipe Frank. So I think that's the matchup. And conversely, Missouri has that five type of wide offense that is going to up-tempo them on each and every play.
To me, Florida we're laying less than 7 points in the freaking swamp.
But can I be Missouri. Honest with you? Let's be honest.
Like, this isn't you know, LSU going in that's here. This isn't Jordan. This is Missouri.
If he wins, you're just going to fuel him. He's going to be patting himself on the back until he throws his shoulder out.
Whenever I win, no one ever talks about it after.
I'm going to throw my shoulder out?
By patting yourself on the back. You get it?
I got it.
Yeah, okay.
Old Barry Horowitz.
There you go.
Well, I think that's the matchup. We'll see. I mean, to me, it's a fishy line. I mean, that line shouldn't be six. I mean, it's less than a touchdown. Why is Florida less than a touchdown? They lost last year. It's revenge. They stepped up against Georgia. I think the line should be, honestly, 8.5, 9 in that matchup.
I had it 7.5 at the beginning of the weekend.
Six is light to me. So maybe I could be wrong,
number,
but we'll see.
The key number, like you said, 8.5, 9.5, I'd be like, all right, let's get up there.
I might have stayed away at that point. 6 points. 9.5, to be
it was
honest.
6.5. We're seeing some flat sixes pop up a little bit.
It's a flat six. It wasn't 6.5. They didn't bet it up to 7.
Yeah.
So it's good. They're getting even money. We'll see.
I like it's a Florida. Yeah, you know, just a little bit of a conservative pick, but I'm a Michigan fan. A Florida Gator money line, Michigan money line parlay. -140.
Yeah.
I need Florida to win the game. I need Michigan to win the game.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. That's something to look at. We'll talk about that when we come back. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, live from Studio 34. Keep it where it is.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
We are back on College Football Today, just about 18 minutes until the 12 o'clock kickoff. But before we return to the games, halfway through the NFL season already, DailyRoto.com's NFL Optimizer has already produced millions in winnings for its subscribers, including multiple winners in the hundreds of thousands and one lucky $1 million winner. And with the NBA in full swing, the DailyRoto.com NBA Lineup Optimizer is now available and subscribers are crushing it on a nightly basis there. If you're hooked, you can now buy the Daily Roto Elite Package, giving you access year-round to the suite of successful tools and projections that DailyRoto.com subscribers have been using to print money in the NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, and even PGA Daily Fantasy Golf. And when you sign up for the Elite Package, you'll get the new NFL betting tools they've rolled out, including Against the Spread, Moneyline, Game Totals, and Player Props. So head on over to DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, and check out what the Elite Package has to offer. If you don't have a problem with winning money, and who does, especially with the holidays coming, you're going to love it. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. Even Marv Albert says yes to the Daily Roto Package.
Yes!
And it counts. Gabe, what do we have from the chat room?
Chat is banging. We're moving in on the 12 o'clock kickoffs right now. NC State Wolfpack. Man, NC State, I'm still crying about that Clemson game, man, from a few weeks ago.
What? With that?
Man, did I ever misread that game?
I misread Florida State Clemson. Florida State, you're dead to me. You're absolutely dead to me.
You're done.
Like, I'm done. I picked them at 7-5, and I still thought they would at least make that game competitive. Willie Taggart said they quit. He said he saw kids quit on film. That's a problem.
Yeah, it's a big problem.
That's a problem, and you don't fix
that. Do you trust the Wolfpack laying 8.5 points here?
They have the better quarterback.
That number really got out of control, in my opinion. Yeah. I went into the week loving NC State.
It was 6.5 earlier in the week, for the record. So it's gone up to, and with the key number, 6.5 to 8.5.
Yeah, but that must mean something's going on. They're weeding people. I mean, again, if you're asking me, how do you look at that? I'm taking the better
quarterback. So you're telling me there's trouble in the room.
Yeah, I'm taking the better
quarterback.
Tiger's
going to need his own kids here, right?
I think
Fisher...
Back?
Fisher really left a mess for this guy, though.
But do you think they're now, after they got
beaten down? You can't get rid of Taggart now.
That's the worst, one of the worst, that ties the worst defeat in Florida State history. History last week, 59-10. You got embarrassed by Clemson, who's the top, one of the top teams in the country. And now Willie Taggart, your head coach, who's only there less than a year, says that kids quit. So how can you buy into a team like that? Even if
Francois banged up, Joe. Francois banged up.
He should transfer.
I was right about that.
You were.
If I'm DeAndre Francois, get out of town.
Why
if they cannot
gone to Blackman. Why not put the
well,
kid in?
Well, we don't know the situation. I don't know. Maybe he's built very differently.
He is.
How about Tulane in South Florida?
I like Tulane.
There. Is this? I've been talking to people who think this might be an upset special this
game. Yeah, I like Tulane. I mean, they're on the road catching 8 points. I think
is it enough?
They're going to have to run the football. If they fall behind Jonathan Banks in that offense, they're going to struggle in terms of catching up, playing score for score.
That's what Willie Fritz does, though. He runs the ball.
And he's played well. I mean, they dominated Memphis. Now, granted, that game was at home. They go on the road in this ball game, but I would take the 7.5 points in that ballgame.
Big line movement right now, guys. Navy, Cincinnati. We just talked about this game.
That number's got to be going down.
Yeah, it is, and it's 11.5.
Yeah.
Pretty significant.
Should have gone in at 13 and
significantly.
A half.
And it's funny, you asked earlier which way is this Alabama number going to go? It's already started. 14.5 popping up.
Mm.
14.5, 15 isn't bad. I mean, if it gets up to 16.5 now,
it won't pass. It's not going to get there because they don't want to get hit with too much LSU money. But I think the public's going to be sort of inching this game up all day long.
Yeah,
think about that level of respect, Joe. I said it, I think, during the break. Think about that level of number three in the country, at home, with 3 wins over top 10 opponents already this year, they're getting more than 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, but let's think about
that. I mean, that is some amazing Alabama respect.
Yeah, Auburn's not who they were last year, 10-3 over 10-4 overall. Georgia struggled for the most part with that LSU game, but they haven't looked phenomenal offensively and defensively. So, I mean, granted, Alabama's the best team in the country. The only team right now today that can challenge them, in my opinion, is Clemson.
That's it.
Right now. Now, we'll see.
Which is getting old, and that's all we've seen over the last 2 years. Yeah.
So, we'll see.
I would be getting ahead, and I'll give it one sentence, but I would love to see Trevor Lawrence against Tua.
That would be a fantastic matchup. That would be a great matchup. Granted, I mean, they're building. We have the top echelon teams, 1, 2, 3, 4. You could throw Michigan in there now with the defense. But outside of that, it's 5 top teams in parity each and every week. Look at the Pac-12. Washington. Oregon, Utah.
What matchups, Joe, would you like to see in the playoffs? Let's assume it's Alabama 1, Clemson 2, and there's no change in that. Who would you like to see Alabama play, and then
Alabama play Michigan. If Michigan could be there, their defense.
I like that matchup. Alabama-Michigan, Clemson.
I was going to say Clemson-Michigan. Because Alabama will be the number 1. Will Clemson be number 2? I don't know. If Michigan look really good today to beat Ohio State, tough to state. I think what would be fascinating and be great, Notre Dame, Michigan in the playoffs.
I think Clemson.
That would only happen in a championship.
A rematch.
At this point, I would like to see Clemson, Notre Dame.
Look, it's 1-4, right? So we don't really know. I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
No, I'm just asking you what matchups, assuming Alabama's 1 and Clemson's 2, because they're only going
to
move with a loss.
Yes.
They're not going to move out.
I guess you're right.
The reason why, not only because of Don Brown's defense, but I want to see the dynamic between Harbaugh and Saban.
Now, that would be great theater.
Notre Dame run the table.
Landscape for...
I can't say they don't deserve to be the number 2 team, the 2 seed going into that.
I didn't hear what you said.
If Notre Dame runs the table.
Yeah, they deserve it.
Would they jump Clemson, especially if Clemson is a conference champion and Notre Dame doesn't have a conference?
Alabama played Michigan, I guess, about 7 years ago. Denard Robinson, I think it was Shoelace's last year.
And they killed him.
Threw a bunch of interceptions.
Week 1. Yeah, but it's a different team. I mean,
that
was still post-Rich Rod when he had Tate Forcier there. Years ago.
Alabama, Michigan would be a fun football game.
Oh, Joe nailed it. I mean, the coaching matchup.
With Patterson, the contrast, and Tua, and the defense, offense.
I would love to see it. Patterson versus an SEC team again, former Ole Miss quarterback.
Would you want to see Clemson, Georgia? I mean, I don't think the only reason why I
would. I would prefer to see something different. I'd like to see Clemson. Clemson and D would be great.
I get the feeling Georgia's not going to be in the playoffs.
No, I don't think. I'm a Georgia fan. You know that. I don't think they're
the same
team. They
don't feel like they're good. They're not super great. They don't have that feel that, man, these guys are gunning for the title.
Right. No, I agree with you.
They might lose today.
And they might, and they're likely losing the SEC title game if they win today. So that would be a second loss. There's no way they're in. I think it comes down to the team to keep an eye out. If Notre Dame loses, if Michigan stumbles, if there's a Big Ten champion is Oklahoma.
Right.
Oklahoma. I guess I'd like to see Oklahoma. Alabama would be interesting.
Oklahoma,
I guess
you don't want to see Oklahoma. Clemson. We've seen that.
And I don't. Exactly.
We've seen that twice.
Let's blast through. We'll get to the chat here again. We got more games coming in here.
I see one. San Diego State, New Mexico. Love San Diego State.
But New Mexico are just falling apart.
They're horrible. They're going to run the football. Washington's due back. So's Jasmine playing well. And then physicality. New Mexico giving up around 271 rushing yards per game. I mean, that really favors Rocky Long and that offensive line.
So let's jump into the noon games. I'll just throw them rapid fire you just for the degenerate gamblers out there. So we talked about Louisville, Clemson. It's 38.5 points.
I would take Louisville, but close your eyes if you want to take that.
30.5 points pass.
I think you'll have more fun taking Clemson. I think you'll sweat out Louisville. Every yard, every score will make you sweat.
Syracuse and Wake. Want to lay 5 points? I don't want to lay 5 with a Cuse on the road.
How about the over there? I mean,
that'll be a shootout.
What is it?
78.5. I can't do it.
I would take you take 101.
I know, but I like to do that when I did that in game and
all
I
right,
lost.
But still, I mean, come on, that was 101. Traditionally,
that'll be a track meet.
Traditionally, Wake Forest and Syracuse play shootouts. Mm. And Hartman's playing
you
well.
Need you need a freaking Thornton clean Coleman. Ride, man. Couple of, you can get a drive, turn it like 79 points.
Yeah.
A lot of points. I just don't trust Wake Forest.
I would take the points in Wake Forest.
I like them. Plus
Georgia
Syracuse,
Tech, North Carolina.
I like the game. There's no way.
Yellow Jackets. I take
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech.
They're minus 4.5.
Yeah, especially after the
Taquan Marshall is back. Plus, how about Tobias Oliver, the backup quarterback, the way he played last week?
He played
Florida State. How do they respond? Probably not well.
I just can't.
It would be NC State.
Steer clear.
Look at USC. They went on the road to Utah. They got blown out. They came back as favorites against Arizona State and laid an egg. I mean, I think it's the same mindset now. Florida State getting less than a touchdown. It opens at 6.
The only thing that scares me about that game is that number's high. It's just high.
I just don't like it.
I loved NC State out of the gate, thinking that would be about 5.5.
Iowa State and Kansas, guys. You know,
14.5.
If I had more money, 17.5.
17.
If I had more money, sounds crazy. I'd take Kansas.
I would take Kansas.
Kansas is a good year. They're actually competing.
Conversely, I love K-State.
Like, we always talk about Matt Campbell and Iowa State being a great underdog and stuff.
It's laying a lot of points.
You're laying 18 points on the road now, 17.5 points.
Kansas is confident just beating TCU, right?
Yeah.
Oklahoma State, Baylor, we hit already.
Right.
Who do you like in that? Do you like it? We like Baylor. Who do you like in that game?
I like Baylor, too. Baylor. Plus 6.5.
I like the over there, though. I think keep an eye out for wind in Kansas State.
That's more of a play against Oak State after the win. So you saying you like K-State?
I like K-State.
They're getting 9.5.
I like them a lot. Let's just talk about that quickly. I think Gary Patterson.
They're both
has lost
3-5.
I think Gary Patterson has lost that team. Turpin's gone. Sean Robinson's yes, he's no. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I just think Kansas State, they know what they do. They run the football now. Can they do it against TCU with 26-mile-an-hour winds in Fort Worth? That favors Kansas State. They went into
running the ball.
And they went into TCU 2 years ago and dominated that matchup, I think, as an 8.5-point underdog.
I told you guys earlier, my only best bet at noon here, I'm going to lay the points. I'm going to lay the points with Wisconsin. Yet I'm jumping in on this Baylor over. You guys, you talked me into it. Oklahoma State, Baylor. Let's get some points. We're gonna get in on this game. Again, we got to talk about this Michigan State and Maryland situation. I mean, this Maryland.
Yeah.
I can't believe the city. You know, we can get into the board of the regents and everything they did wrong here. But I just want to tip my cap to these kids when they're not beating each other up now. So now you got the incidents. Now they're beating up. You hear that the backup punter got beat up. The rest of the players say no. It wasn't because he's a snitch. It was internal business. Yet somehow here they are with 5 wins. I don't know how.
Yeah.
I don't know how. And I don't trust. A lot of people are sort of thinking they're going to blindly take Michigan State here because of Maryland's issues. I don't know, Joe. These kids have stuck together, Maryland, pretty tightly.
Yeah.
I actually think the Terps. I don't love it, but I would take the Terps if I had to.
Yeah,
here.
I would take the other side. I mean, Michigan State allowing 73 rushing yards per game, and Maryland wants to run the football. They can't pass a lick. They're only averaging
around 140. But how's Michigan State going to score either?
Oh, Michigan State could run the... I just think Michigan State has a superior offensive defensive line. Lombardi could be an upgrade.
They're money burners, Joe. They've covered three games this year. 3-5.
One guys, there's so many Indiana. Extenuating circumstances in this game. I mean, I just... I can't touch this game.
If Maryland won...
If Maryland rallies the troops and wins, it would not surprise me at all. Much going on. Listen, your money could be better spent someplace else.
Who has a better
defense?
I
think we can make that argument about a lot of games.
Yeah, that's true. Probably about three quarters of the games.
Air Force, Army, we talk about military academies like being 24-6.
They're 6.5
to the under.
They played well against Navy, got the victory. I know Navy's not good.
Nah, to me, it feels too low. It's 4.5. I think Army beat them.
I don't know. I
like Army.
Yeah, I like Air Force with the points.
Air Force has been so inconsistent this year.
Well, they lost by 10.
I like the Army defense.
Memphis, East Carolina. You guys said East Carolina is sort
Carolina,
of sneaky at home,
but
plus 11.
I'm not sold on Memphis with consistency on the road. I'm not sold
on defensively. Or defensively.
In any capacity. Brady, White.
Give your best bets at 12 for the fans who haven't.
My best bets at 12 are Auburn and Baylor. Baylor. And that's it for.
I like Ohio State laying the points to kind
of
get off the schneid. Yeah,
I'm going to lay the points with Wisconsin. Although I forgot, I got a buddy over at the sports book, the FanDuel sports book right now, and I texted him. I said, "Get that play in for me if you can, Wisconsin." You can't do it.
Yeah, it's the state of New Jersey.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go offshore.
The game's on the road.
How furious are you going to be if Wisconsin absolutely tattoos
72
Rutgers?
72-0.
I've made some other, I've clicked and texted
Jonathan
some others.
Jonathan Taylor, 16 rushing touchdowns.
Those were more than 400 yards on the ground. John Taylor, exacts vengeance on the
response,
Garden State.
Son of a, I got it at 29.
You got it.
I wanted it at 29. All right, I got to win by 29 points.
Well, they beat Illinois by 29.
Illinois. We got this. 45-3 Wisconsin.
Illinois did put up 211 rushing yards on Wisconsin, but don't worry about that for Rutgers.
Me, guys, tonight is a lot of fun. Tonight's a lot of fun. And in the third hour here, let's jump into the return of the Chip. The Chipster.
Yes.
Chip Kelly going back to Eugene.
Everybody on Oregon in that matchup.
Including myself.
Well, I'm not. I don't like that game in any capacity.
I love Oregon in this game.
Yeah, I don't
like.
Joey likes
Oregon. I don't like UCLA. I can't back them in any capacity.
No, we like Oregon.
Yeah, I don't like Oregon as a best bet, though. I would take Oregon, but everybody in the world is on Oregon later today. So that's
hasn't moved. It's been stuck at 10.
It opened at 13, though, right? They bet it down?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it opened at 13.
Yeah. Chip Kelly, until he can coach defense, I can't back him in that spot.
He'll get there. Chip will
eventually
get there.
Eventually.
Yeah. Now, the night slate's really a lot of fun here tonight, man. You got Alabama and LSU.
It does not get better than that.
Oklahoma, Texas Tech, Notre Dame, Northwestern. It's almost like a March Madness tournament at once tonight, Saturday night.
Here on the East Coast,
the weather's crappy. It's a little cold and rainy.
It's football weather. It's college football weather.
But it's perfect. You know what? Just camp out.
And I rarely hang out here, too.
Camp out.
I'm going to be watching a game.
In front of the television.
We're going to camp out right over here.
Yeah, me too. We're doing a special UFC show right here today at 3 o'clock. We've got John Anik play-by-play, Mark Henry coming to the studio, Michelle Serpico. Me, Robin Black, Michelle Serpico are going to be hosting the show.
What time?
2 hours, 3 to 5. Going to give you picks, analysis for the UFC card. And then we're done at 5. I'm going to watch the rest of the Michigan game, college football games over here at the bar. And then we're going to head over to the fights around 9 o'clock tonight.
And I was told that as an added bonus, Gabe is going to bare-knuckle box anybody who comes and challenges you in the studio in honor of the UFC. Wow. So there's that as well.
He's a minus 140 favorite over there.
We're taking on all comers.
He's a minus 140 favorite. Has anybody, any takers?
As long as they're women or children.
You're like Kramer when he went into karate class.
Hey, we're all at the same level, Joe.
They're both green belts, so we'll see how those play out. Early, I like the total, too, in Ohio State. I like the over in that game.
What is that number?
I think it's a high 50s, if I'm not mistaken, in that ball game. But we got the Seinfeld reference. Total in the Nebraska game.
I think you could bank on Ohio State to get 45 plus in that game on their own. And Nebraska's going to score.
Martinez going to score some points.
This looks like a 45-24 game, Joe. That's about 69.
I'd be shocked if it's anything less than 60 in this matchup.
Little Chariots of Fire 60, action.
It's actually six. It's actually high, very high. It opened at 69. It's up to 74.5. So we'll see.
It's going up.
When we come back, we'll be breaking down the 3:30, 8 o'clock games. Keep it where it is. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci live from Studio 34.